Get ready for the greatest roast of all time. The Roast of Tom Brady. A Netflix live event happening May 5th. Hosted by Kevin Hart. The seven-time world champion gets his cleats held to the fire by famous friends and frenemies on an unforgettable night where everything is fair game. Tune in on May 5th at 5 p.m. Pacific time for The Roast of Tom Brady. Live only on Netflix.
I'm Alex Rodriguez.
And I'm Jason Kelly.
From Bloomberg, this is The Deal. Each week, you'll hear us in conversation with business icons.
This show will explore deal-making across sports, media, and entertainment.
That is a harsh lesson in business.
Sports is not as simple as bringing a bunch of big names together.
I didn't want to do another stomp you out speech.
It opened up so many more doors.
The show is called The Deal.
Listen to The Deal.
Listen to The Deal on Spotify.
Hello, everybody, and welcome to the Orange and Brown Talk podcast here on a Monday. Dan Lobby with Mary Kay Cabot and Ashley Bastock, and we are getting the week ahead of free agency started here. I wanted to circle back to something that came up last week. So there was this ESPN.com suggestion. I think it was on ESPN.com, and someone suggested that the Browns should trade for Justin Fields and just consider Deshaun Watson a sunk cost. Now, I don't think that's something they should do. Maybe one of you two would disagree with me on that, but I don't necessarily think that's the path they should take. But it got me thinking, Mary Kay, about Deshaun Watson's contract. And obviously the Browns signed him to this unprecedented, fully guaranteed $230 million contract, an absolutely enormous number. Through 2 years, I don't think there's any debating that the contract has not been a good one. There's still 3 years left, so it can certainly get rescued. But I've been sort of thinking about this, and I don't want to just give the Browns an out on this and give Deshaun an out on this. That's not what I'm trying to do. But at this point, like, the Browns, Deshaun Watson is their quarterback. The Browns are stuck with Deshaun Watson one way or the other, good or bad. They can't do anything about it. He's got a no trade clause. Nobody wants to trade for a guy with a coming off shoulder surgery. Like, it's Deshaun. This is the Deshaun Watson show. And the contract, it is what it is at this point. They've signed it. They can't change it. It's going to be with them for another 3 years. So I guess as we go into like this off season, just this next off season of wondering exactly what Deshaun Watson is going to be for this team, how do you view his contract at this point? Does it still matter? How much does it matter? It's really open-ended wherever you want to take it. How do you kind of view that Deshaun contract right now?
You know what? Truthfully, I honestly feel like in the event that they had to get themselves out from under it and dig out of this hole, that if it becomes a hole and it becomes an albatross, I think that there is a path forward somehow because they're already into the third year of this contract. That's a $46 million a year contract. And, you know, the numbers keep going up and up and up for the salary cap, for quarterback salaries. I mean, you've got a number of guys now north of $50 million a year average. So I actually think that there is a world in which if they had to overcome this, that they could find a way to do it. And one way you could do it is if you made a trade for another quarterback who has a large salary, you know, you two teams could offset each other in some ways. And then you could also, you know, you can make deals and negotiate with a team where you pay some of it, they pay some of it. So I do think if they had to survive this record-breaking $230 million contract, that they could find a way to do it. And all you have to do is look at what Joe Flacco was able to do for them last year to see that, you know, there is life after Deshaun Watson if for some reason it doesn't work out all right. And I do think that these guys are smart enough capologists that if they have to find a way to overcome this, that they can do it. I mean, it would not be easy. It would be extremely difficult. And the hardest part about it is that nobody knows what Deshaun is yet. So you can't go trading him. I mean, people have to see if he can come back from this. You know, somebody proposed a trade Daniel Jones for Deshaun Watson. Once again, who's going to do that when nobody knows what he is or who he is at this point?
Yeah, I think the trade thing is not interesting. I think like the only way you could do it, Ashley, is if you like attached some first round. If you found some team that doesn't care if they win or lose this year. And I'm not sure who those teams are right now, to be honest with you. I don't know if there's any teams that are just obviously like thinking about the number one pick next year. So you'd have to find a team that doesn't care about next year, attach like a first round pick and a second round pick. And then Deshaun would want to have to go there. So there's a lot of hurdles to trading him. But I guess just, you know, we're going to see an example. Russell Wilson is coming up and the Broncos are going to move on from that massive contract one way or another here soon. And I wonder what that's ultimately going to look like. Like the rich Walmart owners are just going to eat a bunch of money there. To me, like, not to excuse the contract, but I'm kind of with Mary Kay. We're getting to a point where if it doesn't work this year, this franchise is probably going to be able to figure out a way to move on from him. And we'll look back and say, man, that was a disaster. But I don't think it's like devastating at this point. Yeah, like, I don't think this organization is crippled by it if it doesn't work this season.
No, and I think a big part of that is just because of everything we know about Andrew Berry and his staff, and this is what they are good at. We say it time and time again. They are good at managing the cap, at working those contracts, at figuring things out. I don't believe ever that we will see during Andrew, maybe I shouldn't say ever that we will see, but in the past, right, we haven't seen Andrew Berry hamstrung by any individual contract or situation. He just doesn't allow it. And I think in general, Andrew Berry is aggressive in going after what he wants, and he's good at getting out of things that are no longer suiting the team. Even when, think about a few years ago, when like this pass catching core was supposed to be centered around Odell Beckham Jr. and Jarvis Landry and Austin Hooper and all these guys that, you know, they move them out as soon as it's no longer working one way or the other. So I think that's one example. I do think the Russell Wilson comparison is interesting, but you think about Deshaun now, it's going to be year three. Obviously, I think the injury is a big unknown. It's a big question mark. I do think if we're talking strictly in hypotheticals, if they were shopping him for a trade, that would make so many teams hesitant just because of what we already know about this injury, that there's not really a comp for it. There's so many unknowns about what he's going to look like. And there's a really small sample size that he's played in the last three seasons. It's only 12 games. So it's a very different trade market for him than it was in 2022 when the Browns acquired him. And I think that's just the reality we live in. And I think this year, you know, if everything goes well for them and he comes back, he's on time, on target with his throws, the rehab goes well, then yeah, it's like, it doesn't matter. But I think it's just the reality of, hey, this is year three of a 5-year deal. Like, if it's not going to work out after year three, you're already through the majority of it. That coupled with how Andrew Berry manages the cap and contracts, I do think, yeah, it's not something that they're going to let bog them down in any meaningful way.
So I guess, Mary Kim, when we talk about Deshaun and these last 3 years of this deal, and really this year is a huge year. I mean, this thing has to start happening. Like, they brought him in and advertised him as a franchise quarterback, and obviously he hasn't been that for various reasons, right? First the suspension, and then the injury last year. So, like, he's got to look like a franchise quarterback. But I guess I'm just trying to figure out, does he, ideally you want him to be the guy that can go toe-to-toe with Patrick Mahomes. But I think we learned last year, this team has enough talent and they're good enough on defense that even if he never quite lives up to that contract, even if he just becomes a fringe top 10 guy and this team can win football games with him, that might be enough. Like, if this team wins a Super Bowl and Deshaun Watson is Kirk Cousins, who cares? So I guess that's kind of what I'm thinking about this thing. You want him to be better than that. But if he's not and you're still able to win at a high level, I think a lot of people will be okay with that.
Well, I'll tell you what, if they win a Super Bowl, I think plenty of people, everybody would be okay with that. That's
yeah, like
the
who
whole
like
goal.
Who cares? Who cares if you win because of him or just with him steering the ship, right?
Right. Absolutely. And you know, they have enough talent at every other spot on the team. You know, we saw last season that they had an opportunity to get there with Joe Flacco. And, you know, Joe is still pretty good, or was still pretty good last year in this particular system and with this talent around him. But there was a world in which they could have gone pretty far into the playoffs with that defense and with Joe Flacco. So, yeah, I mean, I think for anybody to expect right now at this moment that Deshaun is going to waltz in from this shoulder surgery and be Patrick Mahomes, I think that's setting the bar a little too high. I mean, that kind of is where the bar needs to be set, given the 3 first-round picks and the $230 million. But I think what you're getting at here, Dan, too, is that people are going to need to be a little bit realistic and manage their expectations, right? I mean, you might have to manage your expectations because nobody knows where this is going with him yet. And it's unfortunate, but that's just the reality of the situation. Nobody has had this surgery, let alone come back from it successfully. And it's just going to be wait and see. I mean, I'm hearing good things about it and everybody's really optimistic. And I've told you guys before that if he's healthy, I think that elite quarterback is still in there. I still think he has that ability. But we have to see it. We just don't know if that's true yet.
Yeah, and I'm glad you said something there, because you're right. The bar should be set very high because of 3 first-round picks and $230 million. Again, I just want to be, like, I'm not trying to excuse the contract or trying to excuse excuse what they gave up. Like, he needs, when you give that up, you expect him to be that guy. But I also think there might just be a reality where I don't know if he's ever going to live up to that contract. So what does that look like? How do you make that work and still have him be the quarterback you need him to be and get this team where it needs to go, with the understanding, Ashley, that maybe he's just never going to be that guy. Maybe he's not going to live up to that, but it can still, like, he can still be a good starting quarterback. And I do agree. Maybe that guy might still be somewhere in there. That Houston guy might still be somewhere in Deshaun Watson, and we might see it. And then this is a moot point. But if not, like, the Browns have to figure it out with him because they don't really have any other options right now. And so I guess to me, it's just, as big a deal as the contract was, I think we've reached a point where it's like the Browns just need to get out of Deshaun Watson, whatever they can get out of Deshaun Watson, whether that's top 5 level quarterback, top 10, whatever it is, they've got to figure out what they can get out of it. And who cares about that contract at this point?
Yeah, I'm going to borrow a Kevin Stefanski-ism that I don't think we've heard in a while, largely because the Browns did win a lot of games this past year. But I think with something like this, it applies to winning can be a deodorant. And I do think in Cleveland, if Deshaun doesn't necessarily live up to those exact numbers, like, say there's a correlation between production on the field and that $230 million. I don't know what most fans would set that as. Maybe, you know, MVP caliber season. If the Browns win and make a playoff run and Deshaun plays a big part in them doing that, yeah, he doesn't have to be perfect, because I think ultimately the winning is what matters here. And maybe the Browns will maneuver every single piece around him exactly how it has to be maneuvered. And they're essentially holding Deshaun Watson up and allowing him to do just enough to win games. I certainly think there's a possibility where that could be a reality. And I think if that is the reality, yeah, who cares? Because you figured it out to win the games and ideally to win a Super Bowl, because that's the goal here. That's what we've talked about. I do think that is what's most important at the end of the day. And yeah, individual production is great, but think about the flip side of that. What if Deshaun has like an MVP caliber season and the Browns lose in the divisional round or something, right? I think people would be more upset at that prospect than the first prospect I laid out.
I mean, it's really simple, right? Mary Kay, just go 13-4, have Deshaun be really efficient and go win the Super Bowl, right? That'll solve all your problems.
That would definitely solve all the problems. And, you know, the other thing to consider here is the fact that you're really not just talking about $230 million, because I think we can all agree that, look, now you're down to, what, $130 million? Right? I mean, you've already spent 90 some of that, right? So now you're down to $130 million over 3 years or whatever the case may be. But you're also talking about 3 first round draft picks and more that you gave up, right? But I also think that with a really good personnel department, that you can also overcome that. And what I mean by that is, if you can go out and find an Amari Cooper for a fifth round pick, you have canceled out a little bit of the fact that you didn't have a first round pick. You know, if you can continue to go out, if you can find a Juwan Jones in the fourth round and he ends up playing like a first rounder, you have successfully overcome, you knocked off another one of those first round picks that you didn't have. And if you can keep building like that with really good premier blue chip players where you find them elsewhere, you can overcome having traded away three first round picks and more for Deshaun Watson. You just have to do a really good job in every other aspect of talent acquisition.
Yeah, and I think the one thing I would say just to add to this is, because I know there's people out there who are probably listening, like, no way, he's got, you know, the contract matters, the picks matter. I'm not trying to move the goalposts here on all of this. Like, if you're going to trade all that, you want him to be that guy. But right now, this trade and that contractor is basically a zero, maybe a one out of 10. So let's get that thing to six this year. Like, let's at least get that thing to like six this year, maybe seven. And if it gets to 10, awesome. But like at this point, you've just got to get that thing to a point where it's not a zero or a one. And unfortunately, that's where it is right now. And we'll see. We'll see what happens. Okay, let's take a break. Let's talk about free agency and kind of give people some updates on what's going on there.
I'm Alex Rodriguez.
And I'm Jason Kelly.
From Bloomberg, this is The Deal. Each week, you'll hear us in conversation with business icons.
This show will explore deal-making across sports, media, and entertainment.
That is a harsh lesson in business.
Sports is not as simple as bringing a bunch of big names together.
I didn't want to do another stomp you out speech.
It opened up so many more doors.
The show is called The Deal.
Listen to The Deal.
Listen to The Deal on Spotify.
And welcome back to the Orange and Brown Talk podcast. Dan Lobby, Mary Kay Cabot, Ashley Bastock. I do want to say this. You probably hear some background noise with Mary Kay. And Mary Kay is in a much, as beautiful it is as it is in Cleveland, Mary Kay, you are in a much more desirable place than me and Ashley right now.
Yes.
You're looking at water.
yes, I am on a beautiful, beautiful beach in Naples, Florida. Not right at the moment. I'm actually in a coffee shop. And it just got a lot quieter in here, henceforth the noise. So sorry about that. But yeah, I decided to get a little sunshine in. Of course, I didn't know it was going to be 70 degrees at home, but there is a beautiful white sandy beach here. So that wasn't going to be happening in my little hometown. Anyways, so I apologize for the noise, but yeah, I am here covering the storm before the storm in Naples, Florida.
I do think it's funny, Mary Kay, that you and I had the opposite, like, schedules. Like, I went to Florida right before the combine. I had, like, 12 hours or whatever it was in between getting back from Florida and going to the combine. You did the exact opposite. You did the combine first, and now you're in Florida. I think you had it right. I think I got it wrong, but I was not in control of when my Florida trip was, as it was, of course, wedding related, as most of my trips are these days. But we did both see dolphins in the last, like, 2 weeks, so two out of the three of us have been on dolphin watch here recently.
I must have seen 10 dolphins yesterday. It was amazing. And they were coming up so close to shore. In fact, it was so bizarre. One of them was kind of messing with, you know, just being very playful and messing with everybody real close to the shore there. And just like darted right up. Like, I thought he was just going to like land on the sand. It was unbelievable, but they're beautiful. And it's just been so amazing to watch them just so close. I've never seen dolphins up this close before. So that was just kind of a magical day.
I got a killer segue here. If we want to keep talking about dolphins.
Oh, there you go.
I'll say this. I've worked with Mary Kay long enough to know that it doesn't matter where she is. She could be on a beach in Florida. She could be across the ocean somewhere. She could be right at home. if something happens, if there's a breaking news story, she's going to be all over it. And so let's talk about a potential Dolphin who is supposed to hit the market, and that is Christian Wilkins. It has a lot of Browns fans excited. As you know, I don't know what he's going to cost. They obviously have a lot invested in Dalvin Tomlinson. I want to talk about a few potential free agents to wrap up this pod, Mary Kay. And I know you're going to do a post on some defensive linemen that the Browns could have some interest in. But is Christian Wilkins a realistic option for this football team?
I would think so. I just got done writing this post, and when I look back to free agency last year, remember, they swung for the fences for Javon Hargrave before they got outbid by the 49ers. So they are not averse to spending big on defensive linemen. They're just not. Or offensive linemen. So that's why I'm taking a look at some of these guys. It's a very nice, rich, deep defensive line class, depending on who actually makes it to the market. Now, guys can get franchised by tomorrow. The Dolphins are not supposed to franchise Christian Wilkins. That's the word that's on the street right now. So he might be available. And why not go after a guy like that? We know that he played at Clemson with Deshaun Watson. They won a national championship together. So there are a lot of connections. He's extremely, extremely productive, coming off a really, really excellent season. And this is the kind of guy that I always think the Browns should go for it. I always think they should go for it. His market value is about $20 million a year. But, you know, when you look at some of these different sites, there can be a vast disparity in market value. I've seen one guy had a market value anywhere from like 9 million up to 20 million. So you never really know. It depends on what the market will bear. But whatever Christian Wilkins is worth, I for sure think the Browns should explore it and give it a whirl.
This is kind of like, if you're going to hire Jim Schwartz, why not just give him as many guys as you can, right? And I don't know how it all would work with Dalvin Tomlinson. His contract starts to get expensive next year. It starts to count against the cap a good amount next year, and it goes up from there. But Ashley, we just spent the whole first part of this pod talking about how brilliant these guys are managing the cap. They'll figure it out. I love the idea if you're going to spend money. We've talked about wide receiver a bunch. We're going to go back to that here in a little bit. But if you're going to spend money, I think defensive line and the interior of that defensive line is a great place to go, especially because the Browns showed us last year you can find value on the edge. You know, and I've been looking through, there's a whole bunch of like smaller caliber edge rushers who can come in, and you can pair them with Oboe, hope Alex Wright develops. And I'd still like to see him add a, you know, a more significant edge rusher. But man, two really good defensive tackles in Tomlinson and Christian Wilkins, along with Myles Garrett, that would be a nightmare.
I'll tell you what, if Christian Wilkins was on the Browns this past year, he would have been the second highest sack getter behind Myles Garrett. I mean, we already know he's one of the best run stoppers in the NFL. That's like his bread and butter. But the 9 sacks last year was his career high. I am so with Mary Kay on this, 100%. I think they should go after it. I think for me, and I just talked about this actually on Sports for CLE, that's going to be airing. Well, I think it's airing right now since it was a pre-tape here on Monday, about this idea of, we know in the past, Andrew Berry has not spent a ton of money on individual D tackles. Really, Dalvin Tomlinson was the first guy that we saw get a big, big contract from him for that position. So I'm curious to see if he would do it again, but you look at Christian Wilkins, and I have had that Jim Schwartz, the "we want Ferraris, not dump trucks" quote stuck in my head the last week or so for different reasons. He would be a Ferrari in the middle of that D line. I think if you're going to go in this scheme, you have to go all in with those guys up front.
Yeah. So, okay. Another guy today, another little bit of news. Mike Evans is going to stay in Tampa. This was a guy that I know Browns fans were very interested in. I know you had thrown his name out, Mary Kay, a couple of times, and would have been a really great pairing with Deshaun Watson, a guy that can get downfield, go up and get the football. But some of these bigger names are starting to drop off a little bit with, T. Higgins getting franchised. It would be really hard to imagine the Bengals would actually trade him to a division rival. So it seems like he's out of the mix. Mike Evans now off the market. And I think the domino effect of this too is, again, you're going to see some of these receivers, a guy like a Calvin Ridley, hitting the market, who's maybe going to get more money than he should. So some some, I don't want to say lower level guys, but some low first, second tier guys maybe getting top tier money. And that's going to make it difficult for the Browns if they decide to address this need in free agency.
Yes. And the other thing to consider about this is the fact that because the wide receivers had such a good showing at the NFL combine, some of the ones that they thought were going to be available to them at number 54 overall, you know, they might not necessarily be there for them. They might have to look at the free agent market a little bit more than they thought they were going to have to. So this is definitely something to keep an eye on. I actually wanted Mike Evans to hit the market. I thought that would have been so exciting. I wanted to see what was going to happen to him, where he was going to go, how it was going to, you know, sort of set the market and set the price for some of these free agent wide receivers. But now that he's off the table, I do think that they're going to have to look at the Calvin Ridleys, the Michael Pittmans, and some of the other wide receivers are out there. I don't know that they're going to want to spend a ton of money in free agency on a wide receiver. And that's why I've mentioned Gabe Davis a number of times, because he's a little bit more of a bargain than some of the others. But certainly, I think it's going to be a little bit of a wild ride in the receiver realm.
Yeah, and another guy that I'm kind of interested in, too, that as I was working on a post for some NFC East free agents, Curtis Samuel is a really interesting guy. He can do some of the things that I think they wanted to do with Elijah Moore that didn't really work out. I don't know if he'd be a little too much like Elijah, but I think he'd be interesting, too, in free agency. But Ashley, again, it's just another example of a guy. I don't know. I don't know what they're going to do at receiver, to be honest with you. If they're going to go out and attack Gabe Davis or Hollywood Brown or someone like that, or if they're going to try and draft a guy. But it's just, we all know this is a position they need to address. And Evans is just another guy that was an intriguing name now that's gone.
Yeah, it just feels like for the most part this year in free agency, like Mary Kay was alluding to with how much excitement there would be with Mike Evans. Like, we haven't gotten that kind of push yet. It feels like there's not necessarily a ton of excitement in that way where a guy's going to hit the open market and really make a splash. I don't know, maybe it'll change over this, you know, this week could be a long week in that regard, I think. But I am curious, because that was like the big name that you think about where who could they go out and it would be that sort of level, that same level it was at when they signed Amari Cooper. They were really aggressive. They went after their guy. They got him. Of course, that was a trade and not free agency, but that's one of the guys. And now I'm kind of wondering, okay, is this market going to dry up way faster than we think? And are they going to be better off going after guys in the draft? But I am curious, you know, Xavier Worthy was the one name that we heard about a lot in terms of early mock drafts and where they were projecting him to be available. I think he probably tested so well at the combine that he's not going to be in the Browns range anymore. So then you have a few different options. I don't know. I don't know that exciting name is necessarily going to be out there in the draft either. So I'm really curious to see how the rest of free agency shakes out.
Okay, let's talk about one more name here. Joe Flacco. Mary Kay, what's the latest here on Joe as we approach the start of the league year next week?
Well, I'll tell you what. The more I talked to people at the NFL combine, the more I talked to, you know, agents and other people, I really came to the conclusion that he probably is going to find an opportunity that he's going to want and like a lot more than what he's going to have in Cleveland, where he knows he's going to be the backup to Deshaun Watson. I know that the Patriots are one team that will be interested in him. They've got Alex Van Pelt as their offensive coordinator. He knows Joe as well as anyone now. I think that he is going to put in a great word for Joe. I just think that that's one of several opportunities that he will have to get on the playing field, which is exactly what he wants. So I think people need to wrap their brain around the notion that there's a darn good chance he's not coming back here, and the Browns are going to have to look elsewhere for a veteran backup quarterback.
Yeah, and there are other options out there. You know, Jacoby is going to be a free agent. We'll see if he gets an opportunity to start. We'll see what happens with a guy like Gardner Minshew or a buddy Tyrod Taylor. He's going to be a free agent. There's going to be some veteran options out there, but Ashley, none of them are going to capture everyone's hearts quite like our buddy Joe Flacco, who And New England just makes a ton of sense. It really does. The Van Pelt connection, maybe a young quarterback. You want to give him a little time. It just, it makes too much sense.
Yeah, I think ultimately the Joe Flacco excitement in Cleveland may just be a flash in the pan. And I think a big part of that is you could not have written this story in a Hollywood script and submitted it and had someone willing to buy it as believable for a handful of reasons is what made this so special, I think. Number one, obviously, the fact that he was on the couch. Everyone was assuming, you know, he was having to remind people, hey, no, I didn't retire. I'm just waiting. I think he was shocked from Mary Kay's reporting that no one had called him yet by the time the Browns called him. I think he was expecting an opportunity sooner than what he got. But then he came out, he played lights out. And it's the fact of all the history between Joe Flacco and the Browns. He was their tormentor for so many years. For a while, he was one of the winningest quarterbacks in Cleveland Browns Stadium at a certain point. So I do think that it's all of that history coupled with the unique circumstances that Joe Flacco was in that made this such a special run. And obviously the way the Browns ended the season played a big part in that as well. But I do think Joe Flacco's as confident as anybody that he has something left to give in the tank. And I agree, New England just seems like such an obvious landing spot for him, I think, at this point. I would be surprised if he came back to Cleveland. But again, never say never in the NFL. You never know how these things shake out, especially when it comes to potential starting quarterback jobs.
Okay, like Mary Kay was saying, it's sort of the storm before the storm. Right now, it's the calm before the storm. Not a lot has gone on yet, but I think things will pick up as the week goes along. We'll have a full week of pods coming your way. Of course, make sure you check out our combine recaps on the Orange and Brown Talk feed on Apple Podcasts and on Spotify. Find us on YouTube, search Cleveland Browns on Cleveland.com, and find us on Instagram, search Orange and Brown Talk, and become a Football Insider subscriber, Cleveland.com/Browns, the blue banner at the top of the page for all the information on that. That'll do it for this edition of the Orange and Brown Talk podcast. For Mary Kay and Ashley, I'm Dan. Thanks for listening, everybody.